When I was growing up, my family had a red 1973 Pontiac Bonneville. Even as a kid, I knew it was a sweet ride. I could tell because it had plaid black and white upholstery, and it had a state-of-the-art AM/FM radio with chrome buttons. You may have had something like that, too. But the radio is key because my family took road trips. Every summer, we would load up the Pontiac, and we would head west. It was 2 days driving through the desolation of eastern Washington to get to my grandmother's house near Seattle. And we didn't use the radio often, but I remember on one trip turning it on as we were driving across eastern Washington. Now, there's not much out there, so there was not any FM radio, but we were surfing the AM radio dial, and we found mariachi music, and we found talk radio, and we found the weather report, and then we heard the sweet, sweet voice of Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. And that was the first time I'd ever heard Billy Joel, and I was hooked. Now, as you remember, this song goes on to list all manner of people and current events, the good, the bad, the ambiguous. It was a troubled world then, and it is still a troubled world today. Sin has been with us almost from the beginning, and we still struggle with it and suffer from its effects. We didn't start the fire, but here we are holding it in our hands. Well, this morning we heard from the book of Proverbs. This book comes right after the book of Psalms in your Bibles. It is written in the voice of Lady Wisdom. In Greek, her name would be Sophia. Lady Wisdom is the personification of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Proverbs, she's calling to everyone who has ears to hear. She's calling them to herself. She's instructing them how to live in the paths of life. So Lady Wisdom calls out at the busiest corner. She calls out at the gates of the city where people are passing through. It's as if Lady Wisdom is standing at the corner of Whitebridge and Harding calling out. She is standing at the corner of 40 and West End and calling out. She's standing at that little hump at the very top of Broadway. And she's looking and seeing the bachelorette parties and the boot scooters and the ballet patrons and the people like me who dare to go out in my white jeans and cork wedges and look all wrong down there. But she cries out to all of us. Lady Wisdom yearns for each one of us. She yearns for our well-being. Lady Wisdom yearns that we would all follow the path of life, that we would live the full life that she has for us. The true life that God means for each of us. And she calls out to us, "How long, O simple ones? How long will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" Well, how easy is it for us to go astray? How hard is it to walk the narrow path? How long will we walk the paths that we know don't bring life? How long will we make the compromises that we know will bring us death, even though in the moment they give us the things that we want? We didn't start the fire, but how easy it is to fall into it, and how hard it is to resist it. So Lady Wisdom talks to us about falling into the fire in two kinds of ways. First, she talks about the slips and the falls that come from us being simple, from us being foolish. These are the problems that we find ourselves in before we probably even know that we are heading toward them. And this is like when I was the kid in the Pontiac going across eastern Washington, and the radio signal would go fuzzy for a few minutes because maybe we were passing behind a hill or we were moving between transmitters and we needed to turn the dial a little bit. Ladies, wisdom's remedy for these kind of falling away is this. Give heed to her reproof. Turn and draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Turn and seek wisdom. She will pour out her thoughts upon you. She will make her words known to you. And you will be tugged back into the embrace of God. You will be tugged back into the road of life. But there are also habitual sins, sins we have chosen, sins we have over time built into our lives, built into our relationships, built into our characters. And these are much harder. These kinds of sins have natural consequences, lost jobs, fractured relationships, broken trust. And these kinds of sins have spiritual consequences. These habitual sins are like going down into a spiritual pit. It takes a time to dig it, doesn't it? It takes a while to dig deep, but it also takes a while to dig it back out. And often, what we hear from God during those times is radio silence. Lady Wisdom says that these times when we have driven ourselves into a spiritual pit, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me because they hated knowledge and would have none of my counsel. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way. I remember on our drives across Washington, when we would get to the Columbia River Gorge, it's a deep gorge. And when you're going west, it's a steep, quick drive down to the bottom. Then you go across this flat bridge across the river. Getting out takes a really long time because it's this winding, meandering road up back up to the top. And when you go about halfway down, you lose the mariachi music. And you're in radio silence for a little while, and it takes a while before you come back up as you're driving back up to get back into the radio signal, and by then you're on to a new radio station anyway. A wise student of human nature once remarked that when he was caught in habitual sin, God would often leave him stewing in it until he was well and truly sick of it, sick to death of it. And only then, when he has come to hate the sin that has bound him, does God rescue him. And I know that this has been true in my life. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. And we are both caught up in a fire not of our own making, but we are also people by who our thoughts and our words and our deeds stoke the fire. But God has made us for a different sort of life. He has created us for more. God has created us to yearn for him, that the fire in our bellies would not be a fire for the things of this world, but that they would be a fire yearning for God. God has made us so that our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Our Heavenly Father is a good parent who will settle for nothing less than doing the right thing for his children, regardless what it costs him. And indeed, he did do right by us. He did bring us back to himself. And I imagine that Lady Wisdom may have been standing next to the Father as they watched Jesus hanging on the cross. And she may well have asked him, "What did it cost?" And the Father would have answered, "Everything. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't fight it and light it, and we tried to fight it. But Jesus entered the fire. He took it on himself. He returned it to us, not as the fire of sin, not as the fire of death, not even the fire of judgment. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, he has taken the judgment upon himself and paid the price. So the fire that has been returned to us is the fire of mercy. It is the fire of this world and the fire of ourselves in this world, finally being set right. Jesus has set a new fire that draws us to himself. It is a fire that warms us. It gives us light. It is a fire that purifies us and makes us whole. Jesus has set this new fire, and he yearns for you. He yearns, come, come. Come warm yourself. Come be set free. Come to this fire. Come and be made whole.